This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
As a small business owner, you need protection for your physical and financial assets. From general and professional liability insurance to business owners and commercial auto policies, GEICO can help. Go to geicocommercial.com for your free quote and see how much you could save today.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
New texts on Ukraine. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. Friday, October 4. Thanks for joining us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
House Democrats have released text messages they say show the Trump administration dangled a potential high-level meeting as a way to pressure Ukraine.
President Trump suggests he might ask China to investigate the dealings of former Vice President Joe Biden and his son.
In sports, the Seahawks beat the Rams in Thursday night football, and baseball, the Cardinals and Dodgers both won divisional series games.
And how teen hackers are not always up to something bad.
Teenagers across the country are forming hack clubs, and in doing so, they have to convince their parents that they are not hacking into government servers or, you know, banks and stealing credit card data. What they're doing is coding, basically, coming up with websites and apps and things that they feel will be helpful to people in some way.
Wall Street Journal writer Julie Jargon on teenagers trying to convince teachers and parents that hacking has its upsides. She's here in about 25 minutes. New text messages released by House committees late yesterday seemed to show that the Trump administration sought to use a potential meeting between the president and his Ukrainian counterpart as leverage for that government to investigate Joe Biden. The president reacted.
Well, I would think that if they were honest about it, they'd start a major investigation into the Biden.
The Wall Street Journal says messages also reveal concerns by a top U.S. diplomat in Ukraine that Mr. Trump was seeking to use a hold on U.S. aid to Ukraine for political purposes. Meanwhile, we're also learning that other text messages showed President Trump calling on China to also investigate Mr. Biden. The president said it's something they can start thinking about.
He got kicked out of the Navy. All of a sudden, he's getting billions of dollars. You know what they call that? They call that a payoff.
The China angle centers on Mr. Biden's son, Hunter, who joined an investment firm tied to China shortly after traveling with his father to China while Joe Biden was vice president. House Democrats released the text messages after Paul Volcker, former special envoy to Ukraine, spent more than 9 hours testifying behind closed doors yesterday as part of the Democrats' impeachment inquiry. Mr. Volcker resigned last week. Democratic Congressman Eric Swalwell of California.
You have more and more evidence that the President of the United States was improperly using his office, using our taxpayer dollars to leverage help from an ally in our upcoming 2020 election.
A different take from Ohio Republican Congressman Jim Jordan.
But not one thing he has said comports with any of the Democrats' impeachment narrative. Not one thing.
Referencing Paul Volcker there, the Democrats said the messages show that State Department employees were deeply concerned that U.S. military assistance to Ukraine and a meeting between President Trump and Ukraine's president were being withheld in order to place additional pressure on Ukraine to launch politically motivated investigations. House Intelligence Chairman Adam Schiff is trying to clarify comments that his committee had not spoken directly with the Ukraine whistleblower. This after his office acknowledged Wednesday that, in fact, it had been in contact with the whistleblower. Mr. Schiff told MSNBC on September 17, after the complaint had been filed, that the committee had not spoken with the whistleblower. Mr. Schiff is a leading Democrat in his party's impeachment inquiry.
Does the president's invocation of deep state undermine the whistleblower process? Absolutely. It's intended to.
Meanwhile, Fox News says Mr. Schiff is facing questions about his own connection to a Soviet-born businessman who has raised money for his campaign and whose company has received lucrative defense contracts from Ukraine's government. That man is Igor Pasternak, who in 2013 hosted a fundraiser for Mr. Schiff, who later came to embrace a strong stance in support of the U.S. sending military aid to Ukraine during its conflict with Russia. It's 11 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. This Morning with Gordon Deal podcast is brought to you by Privacy.com. For me, shopping online with Privacy.com is safer. How? By using Privacy.com's virtual credit or debit cards. They protect my identity and bank info when shopping online. Remember the recent theft of financial data of millions of online shoppers from a very large online retailer? Privacy.com's virtual accounts are held to the same security standards as your bank. It's PCI DSS compliant, which makes info online secure with military-grade encryption. Privacy.com can also help you take control of your finances by setting spending limits for when you tend to order too much takeout or by monitoring recurring payments or subscriptions. Head to privacy.com/Gordon to sign up and start shopping. As a special treat for our listeners, new customers will automatically get $5 to spend on your first purchase. Yep, that's free money to use on any online purchase. Go to privacy.com/Gordon and sign up now. Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Friday. There's now a good chance the House of Representatives will impeach President Trump. The Senate will then probably decline to convict him. Mr. Trump will remain in office, and a year from now, it might seem like not much has changed. But a lot will change, according to Rick Newman, senior columnist at Yahoo Finance. Rick, explain.
You know, this has been going on for less than a month, but it's already just completely dominating everything in Washington. And I think one of the important takeaways from the impeachment of Bill Clinton in 1998, I've talked to some people who worked in the Clinton administration back then, is that the White House basically cannot focus on anything else. I mean, it just is going to be impeachment all day, all the time. I mean, we're already seeing that with President Trump. I mean, he is consumed with impeachment proceedings. We're seeing that in his Twitter feed. It's essentially all he's talking about. And even when he has some other type of event in Washington, such as meeting with, foreign dignitaries, he'll hold a news conference and all the questions are about impeachment.
Yeah.
So this is going to dominate what everybody's talking about, but it's also going to dominate what everybody, the actual policymakers in Washington and the legislators in Congress, what they're actually doing. And there is stuff that Congress needs to get done. The spending bills only go through November, and people who follow Congress, analysts who understand how these things work, say there's probably a greater chance we're going to have a government shutdown when those spending bills run out, simply because it's going to be harder to do anything on a bipartisan basis, even harder than it has been up till now. And the other thing that's kind of dangling out there is this new trade deal with Canada and Mexico that has been finalized, but needs to be ratified by Congress in order for it to go into effect. So we're still under the old NAFTA regime, and Trump has threatened that if Congress does not approve the new deal, he possibly could withdraw from NAFTA. I don't think he will, but, you know, that's one of the many types of uncertainty that business operators and investors need to deal with.
We're speaking with Rick Newman, senior columnist at Yahoo Finance. All right, so in this current scenario, the picture you paint is the House is likely to impeach, the Senate is likely to decline to convict. The president then finishes out his term in office. You referenced in there a less interventionist White House, which would mean what?
Well, if you just do some scenario planning, what if Trump were to leave? I mean, the sort of forecasting groups that try to make their best guesses about things like this say, you know, there is a non-zero probability that Trump will not be the nominee for the Republicans in 2020. And there's also a greater than zero chance he won't even finish out his first term. So what if that were to happen? What if Mike Pence were to become president, either because Trump actually got impeached and convicted, or he just left? He could just leave. And by the way, one of the possible scenarios here is that Trump could choose to leave before his term is over because Pence could pardon him, so that he'd rather take his chances with Pence pardoning him, and that would probably be a prearranged deal rather than waiting to see what a possible Democratic president would do. We're probably getting ahead of ourselves here, but I think the bigger point is, if Pence were to become president, what we know about Mike Pence is, you know, he was governor of Indiana, he was a member of Congress, and before joining the Trump administration, he was a more traditional Republican, at least in terms of economic issues. He's very socially conservative, but on economics, he tends to be come from the traditional free trade part of the Republican Party. So if Pence were to become president, I think that would actually be good for markets. He probably would be more likely to de-escalate the trade war with China than to intensify it. And he might actually be a calming presence with some of these other things that are going on, such as sanctions on Iran and the battle there, and threats of tariffs on European imports and things like that. So Pence would probably be friendlier to markets than Trump has been. But then how long would a Pence presidency last? I mean, it's just, you know, it's like a, you know, it's one dark tunnel after another trying to figure out what might happen here.
Thanks, Rick. Rick Newman, senior columnist at Yahoo Finance. 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning, Jennifer Kashenka is here with more of America's First News.
Gordon, top U.S. diplomats encouraged Ukraine's newly elected president to conduct an investigation linked to Joe Biden's family in return for a visit to Washington with President Trump. It soon escalated into what one feared was a crazy swap that risked vital U.S. military aid. That's according to text messages released by House investigators following a 10-hour interview with one of the diplomats, Kurt Volker, who stepped down as special envoy to Ukraine amid the Democrats' impeachment inquiry. The pages lay out the contours of a potential quid pro quo exchange. Trump gets his political investigation of a top Democratic rival in return for some price to be paid by the new Ukraine leader, now at the heart of the House investigation. Meanwhile, President Trump urged another foreign government to probe former Vice President Joe Biden and his son Hunter, saying the Chinese government should look into Hunter Biden's involvement with an investment fund that raised money in that country.
China should start an investigation into the Bidens, because what happened in China is just about as bad as what happened with Ukraine.
Trump says he hasn't asked Chinese President Xi Jinping to investigate the Bidens, but it's something he can start thinking about. In what legal experts say is the largest settlement of its kind stemming from a mass shooting, MGM Resorts has agreed to pay up to $800 million to victims of the 2017 massacre outside its Mandalay Bay Casino in Las Vegas. More than 4,000 survivors and relatives of those killed in the deadliest mass shooting in modern U.S. history will be eligible for payments through a victim's compensation fund. Nearly 1,700 clergy members considered credibly accused of child sexual abuse are living with little to no oversight from the Catholic Church or law enforcement authorities. Decades after the first wave of the Church Abuse scandal, the Associated Press has found that these former priests now hold jobs like teaching middle school math and counseling sexual assault survivors. The AP also found dozens have committed crimes since leaving the church. Marcell Ozuna's two-run double broke a three-all tie in the ninth inning as the Cardinals stunned the Braves 7-6 in the first game of the National League Division Series. Also, Max Muncy drove in three runs as the Dodgers beat the Nationals 6-0 in game one.
And you like baseball? You got four games today, so.
Yippee!
I know you'll be parked couchside. Not. 23 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Hey, glad you're with us. Nearly half of U.S. adults who take part in airline and hotel rewards programs have let their points or miles expire at some point. Ted Rossman, credit card analyst at Bankrate.com, has strategies on how we can do better. Ted, first off, what'd you find?
We found that about half of people who participate in airline and hotel rewards programs have let some of those points or miles expire. And for credit card rewards, it's about 30%. My advice is do whatever you can to keep those active, and I can give you some strategies, because this is real money. It's just like cash. You don't want to let these points and miles just float away.
All right. So what about the dollar amount that comes to each year in terms of dollars/points that are being left on the table or given away?
Most people don't know how many points and miles they have, which is another issue. But among those who do, my valuation of what people told us is that I think on average people have about $350 worth of airline miles, about $225 worth of hotel points, and about $150 in credit card points. These are not small numbers. I mean, this is real value that people are sitting on, and I think it underscores why it's so important to take stock of what you have, keep it from expiring, and use it for a good purpose.
And the expiring rules or dates kind of change with each program, don't they? Whether it's airlines or hotel points?
It's confusing, and I think that's what leads to a lot of people just letting these points and miles slip away because they're just not staying on top of it. Oftentimes with airlines and hotels, if you don't have any qualifying activity in 18 to 24 months, those points and miles might expire. It does depend on the program. Like United actually just said that their miles will never expire, and Delta miles don't expire either, so that's a good thing. But the best thing you can do to keep these active is to make some qualifying activity, some sort of either points accrual or points withdrawal every, let's say, year, year and a half to be safe. And it doesn't have to be travel either. That's what's so important.
We're speaking with Ted Rossman, credit card analyst at Bankrate.com. They've got a survey that finds about half of us let those points or miles expire, leaving real money on the table. Based on age or generation, Ted, who's best or worst at cashing these things in or leaving them out there to die?
Millennials are letting these points and miles slip away the most. We found that more than half have lost hotel points due to expiration. Exactly half have lost airline miles. Close to half have lost credit card rewards. It's interesting because millennials are the most likely to participate in these programs. They're the most likely to lose value from these programs, and they don't have as many points or miles stocked up as older adults.
Thanks, Ted. Ted Rossman, credit card analyst at Bankrate.com. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Now that Human Resources VP Ashley Campbell has Kronos for HR, payroll, talent, and time, she's managing her workforce like a rock star. She even has her own hype song.
I'm the spark before the fire. I'm the power in the train. I
have a really diverse workforce with different hours, skill sets, and pay grades.
Don't stop, I'm the dream and you should know that.
Now we're motivating and engaging the right people every step of the way.
Kronos, HR solutions for the modern workforce and the people who support them. Learn more at kronos.com/HR swagger.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email, thismorning@compassmedianetworks.com.
Thanks for spending time with us and welcome into Friday, October 4. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka, some of our top stories and headlines. Congressional testimony from a former Ukraine envoy. Trump could ask China to investigate the Bidens. The Las Vegas mass shooting that left 58 people dead could lead to an $800 million settlement between MGM Resorts and victims. Seahawks beat the Rams in football last night. Cardinals and Dodgers took game one of their divisional series. The psychological thriller Joker opens in theaters today with Joaquin Phoenix. And a hero cheerleader saves a child. That story in about 20 minutes. Teenagers across the country are forming hacking clubs, attending hackathons, and trying to spread the word that hacking doesn't always mean stealing critical data. But Julie Jargon, who writes the Family and Tech column for the Wall Street Journal, says convincing teachers and parents of that isn't always easy. Julie, what's going on?
Teenagers across the country are forming hack clubs, and in doing so, they have to convince their parents that they are not hacking into government servers or banks and stealing credit card data. What they're doing is coding, basically, and coming up with websites and apps and things that they feel will be helpful to people in some way. And, they're trying to kind of make the word hacking something that doesn't mean something bad.
I was going to say, you can understand parents' angst, or teachers for that matter, because of the negative connotation with the word hack. But I mean, these guys are involved in some serious stuff, though.
Yeah. Some of the kids are making some really creative things. One 14-year-old boy I talked to is trying to create a website that will give people more information on political candidates and the contributions that they take from super PACs. And, they're doing a lot of really cool things, but they just have to get around the negative connotation of the word hacking. And yeah. what they really say that they're trying to do is hack the traditional education system, which is apparently pretty short on computer science education. And so these clubs that they're forming are student-led, so they're learning these hacking skills from each other and then honing their skills, you know, without a teacher involved or textbooks. You know, it's something that's really led by the students themselves.
We're speaking with Julie Jargon. She writes the Family and Tech column for the Wall Street Journal. Her latest piece is called Teen Hackers Try to Convince Parents They Are Up to Good. Many are forming these hack clubs, which actually have positive roles. I thought it was curious, too, this kid who was creating the political website, his definition of hacker would be completely different from what, say, adults might give it, right? He was saying that's somebody who sees a problem, confronts it, and tries to address it.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of the whole idea of, you know, you can hack any sort of problem and to find a workaround. You know, we talk about life hacks, yeah. you know, ways to find solutions to things that are troubling, that are creative and innovative, and that's what he says that these kids are trying to do. It doesn't always have to be technical hacking, but in this case it is. And, so, these are pretty smart kids, and there's a nonprofit organization out of San Francisco called Hack Club, which is helping these kids start these clubs. They provide some of the curriculum. They provide some help in teaching kids how to get corporate sponsorship so they can hold hackathons. And a hackathon is basically usually a one-day event where kids gather and compete for prizes. They form into small teams, and they come up with a website or an app or some sort of coding solution to a problem, and, you know, the winner gets, you know, whatever prizes are developed. And so this is something that's kind of gaining traction across the country. And, you know, hacking and hackathons used to be something that was more common for older kids in college, for example. And this is something that's really starting to kind of bubble up at the high school level.
Yeah. You said, too, organizations are doing similar things, I guess, to these hackathons to encourage kids to code. What's being done?
Yeah, there are a number of different organizations that, you know, different coding organizations that help kids form clubs, you know, after-school clubs for free at their school by, you know, providing some online content and curriculum that kids can follow so that they, you know, can, you know, sometimes they're teacher-led, sometimes they're student-led, but it's a way for kids to have some, you know, educational materials that they can share with each other and learn basic coding to get started. Another kind of interesting component to this is, you know, there are kids who are doing actual hacking, but for good purposes. So there are different what are called bug bounty programs. You know, different government agencies, the military, offer these ethical hackers the opportunity to hack into their systems in order to find holes or, you know, problems that need to be patched so that the nefarious hackers can't get in. And so there are some young people who are doing that, and they're using their skills to actually help make government and other, you know, corporate websites more secure.
Thanks, Julie. Julie Jargon, she writes the Family and Tech column for the Wall Street Journal. 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for spending time with us on this Friday, Beyond the Headlines Now. This morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, with Halloween season starting to heat up, so is the yearly pressure to find the perfect costume. You know, one that is both topical and one we can look good in as well. Enter the costume that all of America will be clamoring for, the sexy college admissions scandal costume. That's right. From Yandy, the company that this year has already brought us the sexy Mr. Rogers costume, the Beyond Burger costume, and the inexplicable sexy tariff costume, comes a $70 getup to sure to show everyone that you pay attention to the news and you would never use your influence to get your kid into college. The skin-tight, long-sleeved orange crop top features the text Mom of the Year crossed out on the chest and Inmate splashed across instead. A matching set of high-waisted pants with a Yandy University logo completes the snarky look. The description reads, "Turns out fame and intelligence don't go hand in hand," and also says that you can, quote, "bribe your way to the admissions office and score the ultimate scholarly achievement, being the best mom."
See. Very nice. Very clever by Andy.
Yes, yes. This has been a good season for them so far with these kind of outrageous costumes.
Yeah.
These, I saw a couple weeks ago, the sexy tariff costume, which I thought was about the biggest reach we've ever had.
Yes.
Although I'm sure they'll come up with another one, which will even make us shake our heads more.
What was the tariff? What did the tariff costume feature?
It was basically just like dollar signs, I think, all over it.
Okay.
That kind of thing. It was money themed. I remember that.
Oh, yes.
And I think it just said kind of tariff across the front.
I see it now.
Yes.
Yes. And sexy would be the primary word here to describe these costumes.
Well, I mean, that's the draw.
Yes.
But, yeah, it doesn't really matter what it is, right? If it's,
right.
It could be sexy, whatever costume.
That's seems like basically their theme.
Yes.
Looking at the photos now of the models who are modeling the costume.
This is what they do.
Yes.
This is their thing. And here's a story for soccer coach Gordon Deal to lay on his players when they start to complain about a long and hard practice. A British soccer freestyler added a Guinness World Record to his resume when he walked over 3.5 miles in 1 hour in the Sahara Desert while juggling a soccer ball with his feet. John Farnworth, who already has multiple Guinness records, including the greatest vertical ascent controlling a soccer ball in 1 hour, traveled to Morocco to attempt the feat. Farnworth managed a distance of 3.61 miles in 1 hour, achieving the record. Farnworth said the toughest part was navigating sandstorms, which made it understandably difficult to control the ball. The record attempt also helped raise money for a children's charity.
Nice. I can imagine that would be difficult.
Yes. I mean, is that one of, have you tried that or have you done that in any of your practices, sort of see how long you can go doing that, controlling a ball that way?
I mean, normally when you're juggling a soccer ball,
you're
standing in one spot trying to use your feet and your thighs and your head. But
right.
To be walking adds a different element.
Right.
You know, which is certainly one of the things you use to train players on, but
right,
not for 3.61 miles.
And you don't bring in giant fans and sand to throw
right.
at them to distract them while they're doing
simulate
it.
Simulate difficulty. That is almost impossible. Thanks, Mike. 13 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Your favorite Netflix show gets canceled before the second season. You draw last pick in your fantasy football draft. You're roused from sleep by the construction outside your window the one day you can sleep in. We can't change those things, but ClearBank is changing one unfair thing: how hard it is to get fundraising as an entrepreneur. They know it's scary to put your house up as collateral for a bank loan and how scary and time-consuming it can be pitching investors, not to mention giving up pieces of your company if the investor likes it. ClearBank believes that fundraising can be easy. ClearBank has created a new way for founders to raise money without tapping into their personal resources. They can fund you anywhere from $10,000 to $10 million in a single day. All you need to do is fill out their 20-minute term sheet to get started. ClearBank works with e-commerce companies, SaaS companies, and yes, mobile apps too. They funded thousands of entrepreneurs and are on track to invest over $1 billion this year. As a special gift to our listeners, qualifying companies that get approved by ClearBank will get $1,000 of additional capital. To sign up, visit clearbank.com/Gordon. That's clearbank.com/Gordon. ClearBank. Stop pitching and get back to doing what you love, growing your business. Hey, thanks for being with us. A record number of Americans are saving for college. 529 education savings accounts accumulated $352.4 billion in assets by mid-year, up 7% on the year. A group called the College Savings Plans Network says there were 14 million of the tax-advantaged accounts as of June. But while savings are increasing, so too are student debt loads and college costs. MarketWatch says Americans now owe around $1.5 trillion in student debt. The average student loan balance was about $33,000 by the end of last year, up almost 6% from the previous year. The average balance in 529 accounts is about $25,000, according to the College Savings Plans Network. That covers 1 year at a public four-year school, but not at a private school. In the 2015 and 2016 school year, 1 year at a public college cost about $19,000, while private, nonprofit, and for-profit schools cost an average of more than $41,000 a year. Those numbers are from the National Center for Education Statistics. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on this morning. Jennifer Koschenka is back with more of America's First News.
According to three House committees have released dozens of texts between U.S. diplomats in Ukraine discussing how to handle a response to President Trump's demands that the country launch an investigation into Joe Biden's family. And the release follows an almost 10-hour interview with former Ukrainian envoy Kurt Volker, who provided the text messages. In one exchange, Volker and Ambassador Gordon Sondland discussed a draft statement in which the Ukraine government would announce an investigation in the 2016 U.S. presidential election and into a company whose board Biden's son served on. Trump's pressure on Ukraine's president is the subject of the impeachment investigation. U.S. Energy Secretary Rick Perry is expected to announce his resignation by the end of November. Politico reports that Deputy Energy Secretary Dan Brulette is expected to replace him. A shadowy but widely sold illegal marijuana vape is drawing the attention of investigators looking into a rash of mysterious lung illnesses around the country. Investigators have not identified a culprit in the outbreak, but say patients have frequently mentioned using Dank Vapes, a rogue brand easily purchased online. The CDC has identified 19 deaths and 1,080 cases of lung illnesses linked to vaping. Health and Human Services Secretary Alex Azar spoke with Fox.
You do not know what toxins you are vaporizing and putting in your lungs. Listen, as a general health matter, don't put stuff in your lungs. It's not good for you.
Patients report a history of vaping and develop what looks like pneumonia over a period of days or weeks. They arrive at the hospital struggling to get enough air into their lungs. Federal authorities are monitoring and warning local law enforcement of threatening social media posts linked to The Joker, now in theaters. The movie is stirring debate and real-world concerns over its portrayal of graphic and random violence. Fears have been heightened because of the long-held but debunked belief that the gunman who shot 12 moviegoers to death at a 2012 opening weekend showing of The Dark Knight Rises in Aurora, Colorado, was dressed as or inspired by the Joker character. If you're obsessed with your gram, here's something for you. An Instagram-friendly museum filled with brightly colored walls and giant objects. The museum in Vienna has everything needed for the perfect selfie. There are 24 different rooms, some with glitter confetti, some with fake food such as cupcakes, so visitors can take the perfect snap.
Oh, brother. There we go. Spiraling downward out of control. Thanks, Jen. 6 minutes in front of the hour on this morning, America's First News. Thanks for joining us. A Texas high school cheerleader sprang into action at her homecoming parade in Texas when she spotted a toddler choking and managed to save him. Tyra Winters, a 17-year-old student at Rockwall High School, told ABC News she was on the school's float with her cheerleading squad and the football team 2 weeks ago when she heard murmurs that a child was choking in the crowd. She scanned the crowd and saw a little boy whose face was super, super red, she said. At one point, it was kind of turning purple. She then jumped off the float, ran to the 2-year-old who was with his mother, and successfully performed the Heimlich maneuver. Ms. Winter said she picked him up and then tilted him downwards and gave him 2 or 3 back thrusts. He was then spitting everything up. The boy's mom, Nicole Hornback, said she tried to perform the Heimlich on her son, 2-year-old Clark, but was not successful. The three united earlier this week, by the way, Ms. Winters said. The two had a good time together and shared a high five. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.
Michigan is one of the best places in the country to do business. But you don't have to take our word for it. Take Patty Poppes, president and CEO of Consumers Energy, instead.
All of the innovation that's occurring around robotics, AI, it's happening here in Michigan. We have chemical companies, we have pharmaceutical companies, we have medical device manufacturers. Michigan is a magnet for innovators and dreamers.
Big things are happening in business here. Find out why by searching Michigan Pure Opportunity.